All right. Praise the Lord. Someone say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Or as they say in the Psalms, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise to Yah. Praise to God. All right. Well, here we are. Another day in the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Title of my message is Being God's Messenger to a Wayward Nation. Being God's Messenger to a Wayward Nation. Church, the late renowned author, educator, and business guru, Stephen R. Covey, once memorably challenged his readers to, let's read it together, find your voice and inspire others to find theirs. Find your voice and inspire others to find theirs. Now, my dear friends, I believe that that specific challenge especially applies to you and me as God's people in Christ today in a biblical and spiritual sense. Yes, the whole idea of each of us as New Testament believers finding our prophetic voice in God actually has a long tradition which goes all the way back, even beyond the early church, reaching far back into the days of the patriarchs and the prophets of the Old Testament. Yeah. And that's where the Lord's leading me to go now, to focus on one such well-known figure who the Lord called and the Lord helped to find his prophetic voice in his own generation. And that's really what we have to do. We have to find our prophetic voice in our own generation. And saints, that man's name that I'm referring to was Jeremiah. And the story of him finding his prophetic voice and then bringing God's message to his wayward nation begins very simply, literally this way. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, these are God's messages to Jeremiah the priest, the son of Hilkiah, who lived in the town of Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. The first of these messages came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Amon's son Josiah, king of Judah. Other messages came at various other times up until the day when Jerusalem was captured and the people were taken away as slaves. This portion of Scripture, church, this morning is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. All right, everyone, please declare with me this. Say it together. God's messages came to Jeremiah. Let's say that one more time. God's messages came to Jeremiah. All right, let's hear the backstory right now as we begin. Okay, first of all, friends, the prophet Jeremiah's ministry was filled with challenges. And it lasted for 40 years in the city of Jerusalem from 626 to 587 BC. And there's a picture of him in action, I guess we would say. Now, throughout his time, he faithfully carried out his duties as God's messenger to his people, doing so while witnessing the decline of the kingdom of Judah that he was serving in under five kings. It'd be like five presidents. He was watching the decline of his nation. Anybody ever sense any similarities? I mean, at least from the time last, you know, five terms of people that I've watched the nation. And yet, despite the rebelliousness of the nation, God showed great patience. He gave them ample time to turn away from their waywardness and return to him before ultimately he let the Chaldean forces bring about the city's downfall. And church, I want to suggest to you that that period of postponed judgment, someone say with me, postponed judgment. Yeah. It serves as a reminder of God's mercy and just how much he desires his people to turn from their wicked ways. Four decades of constant decline with God pleading with, warning his people. Is God patient or what? Here's what's sad. Some people misinterpret God's patience as that God's not around or he's never going to do anything. It's a mistake. Because sadly, in this case, the promised calamities eventually came to pass. And I'll tell you what, it really does highlight the importance of heeding God's warnings. Now, my brothers and sisters, I submit to you that you and I are also presently living in times when our nation's populace, generally speaking, not everyone, but generally speaking, our populace is living in defiance of God and Christ's standards in many areas too. It's like a Jeremiah time. I'm making the case that to a great extent, it's godless America. Look, we can say in God we trust on all of our buildings and on our money. That is just verbiage. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful it's there. But it, in and of itself, doesn't necessarily mean anything. We always say what? Talk is cheap. Lip service. Jesus even talked about lip service in his day to people. He would always say, hey, don't give the lip service to God. If it's not backed up with a life that corresponds to that lip service. Listen, this is the time we're living in now, and we have been for some time. But in order for God to address our fellow members of society and call them to change their thinking, change their behavior, change their direction, and turn back to Him, God needs right now some Jeremiah-like messengers. Could you believe that? Amen. Yeah, He needs some messengers to proclaim both His warnings and His offer of personal and national restoration through Christ. And saints, I believe that this is both our New Testament calling, I believe it's our privilege, and even a mandate as God's people in Christ. And I base that upon what our Lord Jesus said to His disciples once in Matthew 10, verse 16, 26 and 27. Jesus said to His disciples, listen well. Someone say with me, listen well. Okay, I'm sending you, you'll be like sheep among wild animals. Right out the gate, that doesn't sound good. No one looks and goes, ooh, that gives me a warm fuzzy. No, you're going to be a warm fuzzy for something else, potentially, if you're not careful. I'm sending you out like sheep among wild animals. But here's what He said. So don't be afraid of these people. Now, here's what I really want you to dial in with me on, okay, please. Verse 27, I tell you things secretly. This is Jesus talking, like people do in the dark. But you must tell people these things clearly in the light of the day. I have said things very quietly into your ears. I've whispered to you, He said, in your ears. But now you must shout those things loudly from the tops of the very houses. Now, that's very vivid instruction, isn't it? I'm telling you something over here in the dark. You've got to say it clearly in the light. I'm whispering something quietly into your ears. You have to shout those things loudly from the tops of the houses. Okay, now, very vivid. And friends, I'm saying clearly, our Lord Jesus was urging you and me as His disciples to follow in the prophetic tradition such as that of Jeremiah, and for us to go public with the prophetic messages He shares privately with us through the Holy Spirit. Boy, I hope you can hear this with me this morning. The Lord's speaking to you privately. He wants to whisper into your ears. He wants to tell you things secretly so that then you we'll share those things publicly with others through His Holy Spirit, this wayward nation that is around us. I hope you can hear that with me, everyone. But everyone, just real quick, please also hear my very important clarification right now, because I need to be very clear at this point. In your and my Holy Spirit-inspired messages, which God is calling us to give, we are clearly not like Jeremiah going to be involved in uttering new scripture. I just want that to be clear, because when we are referring to Jeremiah's prophecies, his prophecies were taken because they were under such a level of divine anointing and inspiration by the Lord, and they were considered and deemed sacred scripture and canonized and put in what is our Bible. Because I get an utterance, or I get a idea from the Lord, something he whispers to me in private, and I'm to share it with someone else, just because I'm doing that in the tradition of Jeremiah, it doesn't mean, I'm going to make it very clear, I'm not equating that we're uttering new scriptures when we do so. Amen. Of course we're not. The canon of scripture is settled, it's closed till Christ himself comes again. No, rather, here's what we are doing though. What you and I are doing is essentially echoing scripture. See that little picture? Guy standing on the mountaintop, hello, and then you hear the hello, hello. Scripture speaks, we're the echo of that scripture. Jesus speaks to us through his word, he communicates his ideas and thoughts to us, and we echo those things. In other words, the Holy Spirit will use God's word for the foundation, for the rationale, and even often the very verbiage of our prophetic messages to our audience, which is in today's focus, our wayward society in which we live. And then we're going to be speaking his message both to individuals and groups alike. Both to individuals and groups alike. Now, having made that important clarification, we can now proceed in our teaching, which I would like to approach by asking and then answering this question in the first person. Church, drawing now upon Jeremiah's story, what can I learn about what it means for me to be a messenger of God to my wayward nation today? Well, my answers begin by noting first that, for starters, when God chooses me and speaks to me, incredible transformations happen within me. Yeah. You know, this was so evident in Jeremiah, who, it just looks like in the scripture, became a new person in just an instant. I mean, he literally went from being just a young man from Anathoth to something so much more. No longer just a youth, he awakened to a new consciousness filled with visions and entrusted with the word of the Lord. The scripture just says it this simply. The Lord began to speak to Jeremiah. Wow. And dear ones, this divine communication not only changed Jeremiah himself, but it also changed his relationship with others. He now belonged to God, and he had a message to share. His story is very similar to the situation of the young prophet Samuel when God called him. And we find it in 1 Samuel 3:17, Eli the priest asked Samuel, who was just a young boy at the time, "What message did the Lord speak to you? Tell me everything that he said." If you know the story, Samuel was serving in the temple, assisting the priest. And at night when he was sleeping, he heard a voice calling him. He thought it was the priest calling him for some reason, but it was the Lord's voice. Samuel didn't know how to hear the Lord's voice yet. He hadn't heard it before. The fact was, it had been a really long time in Israel since anyone had actually heard the voice of the Lord. And God started speaking to this young guy. You see, there's a process to start learning how to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives. But listen, wow, this whole idea of beginning to hear the voice of the Lord and then sharing what we hear, telling others what he has said to us, sharing that, that's a New Testament value for you and I too. In another space, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, John says, hey, we're simply telling you about what we have seen and heard because we want you to have fellowship with us, and the fellowship we share together is with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. One of the most foundational parts of being a Christian, a New Testament Christian, Holy Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-empowered, is that you and I are equipped and enabled to tell others about what we have seen and heard. What Jesus has spoken to us privately, you see, whispered in our ears, what he's spoken to our hearts, what the revelation is that we're hearing, we can share those messages in a personal way with others. We just are about telling others what we've seen and heard. Please declare this with me if you're willing. I am being awakened to a new consciousness filled with visions and entrusted with the word of the Lord. That is a declaration I just hope that you'll join me in making in the coming days. In response to what God's wanting to do, I'm being awakened to a new level of consciousness in the Lord. I'm going to be filled with visions, and I'm going to be entrusted with the word of the Lord. God's looking for people that are willing to make that declaration. I guarantee you, he won't hunt you down and force you to do it. And I know this from experience in my life over the years. I have to step up and respond and volunteer and open my life. Are you with me? Right. But saints, Jeremiah's life's worth and his work, it expanded beyond his home. It started there. But then it became a ministry for his very nation. And it's the same for you and me. When God communicates his message to you and me, there's a commission for us to fulfill. And we see this exemplified for us in the book of Acts and our spiritual forefathers there, Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, in one situation. This is the history book of the New Testament. They called two apostles back in and they told them, they must never, for any reason, teach anything about the name of Jesus. Can I tell you, censorship's been going on a long time. Censorship of our faith, it's been going on from the very get-go. You must never teach any more in the public square about this Jesus. And Peter and John answered, they said, well, I jumped ahead. Peter and John answered, do you think God wants us to obey you or him? What? We cannot keep quiet about what we have seen and heard. Wow, notice that from the scripture we just read a moment ago. What's the New Testament prophetic mandate all about? What we have seen and heard, what the Lord has spoken to us privately, we talk about publicly. What we're willing to share with individuals or with groups. We just can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. That's our tradition. Brothers and sisters, we've got a God-given mission. And definitely not always an easy one at that. Boy, if there's any lesson about the book of Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet for a reason. But you know what was interesting? A lot of people in Jesus' day thought he was the prophet Jeremiah come back to life. Jesus was very similar. But the truth is, Jeremiah was actually very similar to Jesus. We've got a God-given mission. It's not always an easy one. And so being God's messenger also means this. Let's read it together, the yellow. My personal inclinations cannot hinder God's calling. Yes, you see in chapter 9, verse 2, we hear Jeremiah lamenting this. He said, oh man, I wish I had a place in the desert, a house where travelers spend the night, so I could leave my people. I could go away from them because they're all unfaithful to God. They are all turning against him. Wow. Do you hear him with me, everyone? There he is. Yeah, he wanted a getaway. He was willing to go anywhere, into the desert, some, you know, oasis Bedouin camp out in the middle of nowhere. He said, just get me away from these people. I am not personally inclined to hang around with them. That's not my inclination, he was saying. Now look, I want to tell you, there's no doubt Jeremiah may have preferred seclusion and irresponsibility over the hazards and concerns of speaking out publicly. But how many of you know that God is not limited by our preferences? Can I just tell you, if you say, look, I would prefer not to get involved, my inclination is to avoid this type of thing, you're not alone. You're in a long line of folks. But God is not limited by those preferences that you and I have. No, dear ones, when God calls you, you and I have to submit ourselves, and we put our own desires aside. That's how it works in Christianity, authentic Christianity. Yeah, Christ himself rejected any of his disciples' excuses or personal inclinations to stay home when it came to following him. If people had an excuse, said, I'm inclined to do something a little different, Jesus. Jesus said, that, I don't accept that. That doesn't work for me. It's not God's highest call. So, consequently, yes, As God's messenger, I cannot remain in seclusion. Jeremiah 2:2, here's what the Lord said to Jeremiah. He's now hearing the Lord's voice, and boy, once you start hearing it, you say, oh, is there a volume button on this? Or maybe a mute even. But that's right, he could not remain in seclusion. Jeremiah had to leave his little village, very, very quaint little village, and venture into the outside world. Jeremiah 2:2, God said, go and speak to the people of Jerusalem. It was the nation's capital. Guy from a little town going to a big city. It was very intimidating in just the natural sense of things. But he said, go there and speak to the people of Jerusalem. Say, this is what the Lord says. I remember how faithful you were to me when you were a young nation. This is God reminiscing on Israel when he first created the nation. You loved me like a young bride. You followed me through the desert, a land that had never been planted. That was a very tender, picturesque way of God sadly expressing the feelings of loss God had for his people. Do you hear that? I remember how you once were faithful to me, like a bride who was so in love with her husband. Not anymore. Can I just tell you, this scripture right here could apply to America today. Yeah. God looks at America and he says, hey, I remember how faithful you were to me when you were a younger nation. I remember how you were. So excited to, yes, blazon my name on buildings. To celebrate in all aspects of your society my rule. It was a joyous rule. No, things weren't perfect in America. I don't idolize America and say that it was idyllic. There's always human beings that are going to be flawed, that are going to be making mistakes all along the way. But generally speaking, the founders of this country and the original people that came here, the pilgrims, others seeking religious freedom, wanting to make this be a place that was just a little bit of a taste of heaven on earth, a little taste of the kingdom of God in advance, a nation among nations that could advocate for freedom and to export God's message of the gospel of Jesus to the rest of the world, the good news. Were there flaws? Of course there were. Were there sins? Yes. Were there mistakes along the way? Certainly. Same with Israel. But God still says, you know, he looks at us through very merciful eyes, folks. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, David said, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? If God, in other words, if God kept track and record of every little sin every individual did or every nation did, who would even be alive right now? But there is mercy with you that you may be feared. That's the point. His mercy is so great even. We reverence him for that. And the fact that we're still here as a nation, still existing, still trying to support righteousness in the world, and yet in decline ourselves. How ironic is it? And yet the Lord's saying, this is what he would say to America. Well, who's he going to say that message through now? If he said it through Jeremiah then, he needs some Jeremiahs now. He needs us to be saying that message. And of course, I know the message is out there. This isn't new news today. But I believe that for our church in a unique way right now, God just wanted to give a fresh anointing. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know where it goes. I don't know what it means in any one individual life. All I know is I'm called to share it. And I want to be first in line to say yes. Because church, we are learning here that God's messengers who love and serve him must be seen and heard by the world around them. Yeah, timidity or fear cannot justify hiding away. You and I are called to be open, even public witnesses for Christ, sharing his love and truth with others. Jeremiah endured really tough times. He personally suffered a great deal, but he kept for four decades faithfully proclaiming God's message. And our New Testament apostle forebears modeled this as well, Acts 4:29. They once prayed, Lord, listen to the threats of the people in their day that were trying to censor them out. We're your servants, so let's read it. Make us brave enough to speak your message. You know, this makes me feel so good. These are the apostles praying that walked with Jesus, and they're asking for bravery. We think, oh no, they already had it because they had hung around with Jesus. No, that helps certainly, but they still found time where they had to say, make us brave enough to speak. Let us prophesy. Let us declare. Are you with me? How many of you know it's hard sometimes to speak up? I remember the very first times when I was teaching young people Bible studies. When I was a kid, when I was in high school, I was teaching Bible studies to other kids my age and younger. I had to overcome so much shyness and overcome so many, insecurities. You know, you're always thinking about yourself and how you sound and if you look stupid or dumb or uncool or whatever it is. And to try to get the message out, to try to be brave and share with my friends at school who didn't know Jesus. I mean, I know what it's like to go through that process to learn how to speak the word of the Lord and to be brave enough to share the message. Believe me, it was a process for many, many years, but it's what we got to do. And it brings me to the next point, which is being God's messenger also implies that my lack of natural abilities doesn't mean I can't serve as God's messenger. Because this is where a lot of people disqualify themselves. You know, Jeremiah thought he couldn't speak with the authority or eloquence necessary to be God's messenger. In fact, in Jeremiah 1:6, he said, "Oh, sovereign Lord," because God said, "I'm going to put my message in your mouth." He said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm too young." Wow, I'm too young. I'm not able to do this. No one's going to listen to me. I have no authority. Folks, believe me, I know what this feels like. I started this church with my wife. We planted it when we were 23 years old. You know how hard it is to feel like you have any authority when you're speaking to people at 23 years old? And you're still trying to grow a small whisker on the bottom of your chin? Well, and I still am. That just not even much facial hair? I really would not have made a good prophet. More like a guy at Burger King, you know, offering you, you know, the Whopper. I mean, it was just, but I didn't look the part. And those of you that were with me back in those earliest of days, you know, I don't know, you were younger than two, but still older than me. And thank you for going on the journey with a guy that was trying to grow sideburns, because it was, and never actually did, if you remember. And you guys just stood with me in the Lord. I'm so grateful. I said, I can't speak for the Lord. I'm too young. And friends, Jeremiah's protest to God reminds me of Moses' protest when God called him to be his messenger to Pharaoh before the Exodus. It says, Moses said to the Lord, "But Lord, I'm telling you, I'm not a good speaker. I've never been able to speak well. And that hasn't changed since you started talking to me now. I'm still not a good speaker. You know that I speak slowly and I don't use the best words." Now look, church, I believe you and I can sympathize with Jeremiah and Moses. Say, I'm feeling too young or I'm feeling too old. There's some people in this room that says, I feel too young, and others are going, I feel too old. But here you go. I'm just saying, how many of you know that if you and I were allowed to dictate our natural opinions of our competencies, I should say, and our abilities would overshadow both spiritual dynamics and God's demands? Yeah. Friends, both of these men ultimately, by God's grace and empowerment, were able to find God's prophetic words in the form of his message, and they shared it with others. Yeah, the word of the Lord and his message through them became irresistible. Jeremiah, in fact, described it this way. He said, "Sometimes I think I will say nothing about the Lord or his message. Ah, but then his message burns like a fire inside me. It gives me pain in my mind and my body." Read this with me. "I cannot keep his message to myself. I have to speak it." Oh, do you see it, everyone there? When you and I have a duty to God, our shortcomings just don't matter. We have more than enough assurance and resources. 2 Corinthians 8:9 reminds us of this. Since God loves you, he's able to give you more than you need. In fact, you'll always have every good thing that you need for yourselves, and you'll have enough to do many good things to help other people. You see, we say, well, I don't know that I have the resources. The Lord says, it's not your resources to begin with. It's my resources, and you'll always have enough for you and enough to give away to other people. But saints, for clarity, being God's messenger also means this. It means that God will communicate through me using my human language. Now you'd say, okay, well, that seems pretty basic, kind of. Yeah, but loved ones, let's be clear here for a minute. Jeremiah's words were really just conveying the word of the Lord or the Lord's message. And while it's true that angels brought the law of God to Moses, the translation of that message was communicated through Moses' human speech to others. And even the pre-existent Christ, the word from heaven, John chapter 1, that pre-existent word became a human being so that God and his people could speak to each other in a human language. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets, obviously, in many times, in many ways, and now in these last days, God's spoken to us again through his Son. How does he do it? He did it in human language. Hebrews 2, 3 goes on to tell us, so we must not forget God's message about his great way to save us. The Lord Jesus himself first spoke that message about how God would save people, and Jesus did it in what? Human language, Hebrew Aramaic. And then the people who heard Jesus told the message to us in human language. Wow. So listen, yes, God will communicate his message through me using my natural human language. My oldest son told me yesterday that his little over two-year-old son, who is bilingual, speaks English and Spanish, he said, I've been watching this process here with him as he's learning both languages, but just a little over two and just starting to form sentences. And Nicholas said, he said, hey, I just said out loud, man, it's cold in here. I'm feeling kind of cold. And he said, my little, two-year-old spoke out in Spanish. He conjugated, he translated from English to Spanish and said it back to Nicholas in Spanish. You're cold. And he said, I'm cold too, I think is what he said. And Nicholas goes, it blew my mind how he had the ability to hear me say it in English, a little two-year-old, and do the conjugation in his head and speak it back to me in Spanish. And he goes, I was amazed. And I thought about that when I was thinking about this message, and I thought, see, heaven's got a language. The Apostle Paul says it. If I spoke in the tongues of men and angels, angels reside where? Heaven. There's a heavenly language, folks. And God communicates in that language. We don't understand what that language actually is, but when it's time to get his message from there to here, through us to out there, he is going to do this conversion process. By the Holy Spirit within us, the Lord takes his heavenly language, converts it to English, the human language in our case. Someone else might speak Spanish, or someone else communicated in another tongue, right? Another earthly tongue, but it comes out in our natural language. So our natural language becomes the vehicle for God's message. And I want you to think about that. That sanctifies our language, that God would do that. So I'm asking you, please, will you yield your tongue and your speech to the Lord? I'm trying to do that. More and more as I'm getting older, I'm trying, and sometimes I go, Lord, I'm not doing a good job of this. But I pray a lot lately, Lord, will you please take my tongue and my speech? I yield it to you. I don't know what it all means, but I just think there's a greater dimension of it. Remember I said at the beginning, let's declare that God's going to bring us into a new level of consciousness in Christ. Something about even how the Holy Spirit, like my little grandson, the Lord's going to be able to speak, and it's going to be conjugated by the Spirit of God in me and come out of my human language in a more precise interpretation, translation. Are you with me? So that I'm more faithfully rendering the message of God to those around me. It's not going to be bemuddled with my bad translation. Are you with me? Somebody is. Now, along these lines then, there comes another aspect, and it's very special and surprising though. Here's what it is. You know, the messages inspired by God that I share will still carry the personal touch of me, the messenger. I wanted to make this clear because it could sound like we're just being a simple parrot, parroting messages. No, we learn from Jeremiah's story as we research it. We find out that even though it was the word of the Lord, Jeremiah's own words, his own personality, his own experiences and style are also evident in the message. This is really interesting. I don't know if you've ever considered this, folks. Divine inspiration doesn't erase our individuality. It actually enhances it. And I submit to you that that is why the scriptures themselves have such a variety. They have such a naturalness, showing both humanity and divinity. In fact, people will say, well, you know, when I read Paul, right? Well, that's Paul. There's old Paul for you. You can tell it's Paul. Yeah, but it's the word of God divinely communicated through Paul. But we see Paul's personality in it. You see what I'm saying? We recognize that that was James writing. Oh, that's James. You can hear James in that. Why? Because you see, everyone, this is because God uses the whole unique person to be his messenger. In other words, I'm saying that he sanctifies us completely for the job. He sets us apart. Jeremiah 1:5, God said it this way, before I even made you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I chose you for a special work. I chose you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, I want you to think about this. Each of us, like they say, there's no snowflake that's the same. When God forms us in the womb, he sees who we are. We're uniquely created to carry his message in a unique and special way. And so when it's time that he calls us to be that vessel, wow, he creatively moves his chosen unique messengers like us with the Holy Spirit. He flows through our natural gifts and our character. 2 Peter 1:21, it says, none of the prophets' messages came because any person just wanted to say something. No, instead, God's Holy Spirit caused people to speak words that came from God. But God's inspired message, my point is that it's imbued with our individual humanity. It's people talking to people, after all. It's imbued with our humanity. There's something about incarnational living and preaching. Incarnational meaning it becomes human and flesh in you. The Word became flesh, right? Jesus, the pre-existent eternal Son of God, John 1 tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How many of you would like to believe that in the same way, when God puts his messages in us and Christ whispers to us, gives us his message, when we share it, it's supposed to become incarnational. It comes through vessels that are chosen, unique, special. Oh, listen, I hope you're seeing it. Because it doesn't denude your humanity. It actually enhances and sanctifies who you are. And God gets delight out of it because he delights in the diversity of all that he's made and how he can express himself through it all. Man, you have a voice, and it's an interesting vocal pattern. If we had all those little digital readers where you could read people's voice tracks, yours would look different than mine and mine than yours. And God says, I delight in all of it. Amen. Ah, wow, that's amazing to me, folks. So you see, dear ones, in our service to the Lord, we need all of our personality. We need all of our abilities. Christ wants everything. Christ wants the package which we offer. Christ says, I like the package. I like how you're packaged. And I'm going to put my message through you. Let it flow out of who you are. I love that about the Lord. Yeah, but further, take all that where it's supposed to go. And it's so challenging, folks, because here's the end. Like Jeremiah, God has chosen me to speak his messages, not just in the easy times, but what? During difficult times. Oh, boy. You know, I said he ministered for 40 years. Folks, we see in the scripture that Jeremiah was there to support the good king Josiah. He was there to challenge the bad king Jehoiakim. He was advising the waffling king Zedekiah. And he was always reminding the general populace about their sins and that they needed a savior. How many of you know that God always sends messengers at the right moment, no matter how tough the times may be? It's true. And it's still true for you and me today in our time. I want you to please know there will always be a voice speaking for God, no matter what is going on. What's tragic is that people often ignore his messages. Isaiah, another prophet, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said, you know, oxen and donkeys know who owns and feeds them, but my people won't ever learn. Israel, you're a sinful nation loaded down with guilt. You're wicked and corrupt and have turned from the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And you know, folks, this is what I really see in modern America today. It's about people ignoring God's message. We've got some people who are persecuting it, I know. There's some people directly, aggressively trying to censor it, I know. But the majority of the public, they just ignore it. They just aren't interested. Have you noticed? Yeah, like that's what God says. My people won't ever learn. I'm owning this nation, God says. I feed this nation. I provide for this people, but they just won't learn. They just won't see it. They just continue to ignore me. They're so weighed down with their sin and their guilt. So I send prophets to remind them, to try to wake them up, to be my voice. And so, yes, finally, church, learning from Jeremiah then, being God's messenger also ultimately means, regardless of the situation, as a prophetic messenger of God, I must fulfill my duty. Yes, saints. I'm saying that whether times are good or whether they're bad, whether the king is righteous like Josiah or whether the king is wicked like Jehoiakim, whether people are going to listen to me or whether people are going to resist me, times of crisis are when God's message needs to be heard the most. Yeah, the land and people of Judah belong to God, and he always communicated with them no matter what the circumstances. And I want to share with you that by extension, I submit to you that this is also the responsibility of every New Testament prophetic minister and prophetic believer to share God's word, to share what God is saying to us, give his message in times of chaos, in times of corruption, in times of disobedience, to warn other people before it's too late. Because please know that even in the face of national tragedy, God's message remains. Yeah, in Jeremiah's day, the righteous king Josiah's death was a real blow to the country. But God still had words of hope for them. If they had listened, if they were willing to change from their rebellion and their wicked ways. Now, sadly, they weren't. But despite their rejection of God's messages to them through Jeremiah for over 40 years, God just kept talking. God just kept speaking. God just kept warning. God just kept giving them hope. Whether it was in times of peace or war, before or after they went into captivity, when they were in their homeland, or even when they were far away in exile, God just kept speaking. That's amazing. And wow, that one fact alone tells me that God never stops watching over us. Hallelujah. He's always sending messages of mercy and promise, no matter where we are or what we're going through. Amen. Even if it's painful, self-imposed punishment and exile due to our sins. Please hear this. Still, we are not abandoned by him. Wow. That's also our message of warning and hope to our wayward nation today. And I want to say, and maybe to someone as an individual listening right here or someone listening online today. We're both warning you, but we're also offering hope to you. Can you both hear and see this with me, everyone? Can you hopefully agree? All right. Well, dear one, the story of the prophet Jeremiah finding his prophetic voice and then bringing God to his wayward nation, it really is a timely message for you today. It's a timely example for you today. Yes, because you're presently living in times and you can't escape it. You were born for this very season, living in times when your nation has gone wayward too. And if God's going to change people's behavior, their thinking, and their direction, and bring them on back to him, he needs right now a Jeremiah messenger, just like you, to be proclaiming his gospel, Christ's gospel, and his standards for living, bringing God's message in both your words and your deed. I hope you'll say to yourself right now, yes, a prophetic messenger just like me. A prophetic messenger just like me. You've got a voice. You've got a prophetic voice. The Lord wanted me to tell you that. And he's trying to awaken it today. I ask the Lord for an impartation to awaken, starting with me in a fresh new way. awaken the prophetic voice. We call it forth in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to respond because I said earlier, you have to, though. You have to say, yes, Lord, I will. It's what he's called you for, made you for. Will you, I would say, with the necessary help of Christ's Spirit, respond with a yes, Lord? I'm going to invite you to just make your commitment in prayer as we just listen to the words of this closing hymn.
Servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me. I am your servant, and I am. Silent, my soul is longing for. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Oh, speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your word. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you say it, Lord? Did you say it to the Lord? Speak to me, Lord. You know, I touched my ears. I touched my eyes to see. I touched my mouth. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. Speak through me. And I touched my heart that you might move me. Lord, let there be your prophetic voice to me now and through me now and through all of us, Lord. And through this church in a new and living way. This is the hour. Our nation needs us so much to be who you've called us to be. It's our heritage, Lord. And there's individuals in our lives that we need to speak to. Thank you that this is how you want to do it. So teach us how to go forward from here, Lord, by your Spirit. That we say, speak to me, Lord. Your servants are listening. Your children are listening. Your sons and daughters are listening. And let us be a remedy in this hour for this world, for the glory of God and the advancement of our precious Lord's message of good news. And for our children and grandchildren, as many as the Lord shall call. Thank you, Lord. We receive your life and your power and your call in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand with me now for our closing blessing. If you have a prayer need of any type, please come forward. I did want to say this, though, too. There's some among us, I do believe you're called to a greater dimension of prophetic gifting and utterance in your life. And I just feel like afterwards our prayer team is going to be up here. they would be willing to pray for you. And it would just be coming and kind of following this message and saying, you know, I'm just going to be asking for a special endowment to continue to walk in what God's been asking me to walk in. Come on up and get that prayer today, okay? Do that. Because I just felt like there's going to be some prophetic ministries launched today. Someone online too, right where you are. Put your hands on yourself and say, I am willing, Lord, today to come into the ministry to utter those prophetic things, those messages that you want me to be sharing at a heightened level than I ever have before. Because we are all called to this. Some are going to walk in it even in greater dimensions. Well, that's just the way Jesus works. So come for prayer. There's coffee in the back and maybe a goodie or two. And I'm asking now that you would just receive this blessing. And now may God, who has caused us to hear a good word and respond to it with our hearts, may he establish our way into the lives of those who have not yet heard, that they too may be included in our spiritual community and family, and we may praise and glorify God together now and forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please greet one another warmly. Come on up for a prayer. Go to the back for some coffee if you wish. And remember, there's prayer for families in the kitchen in just a few minutes. God bless you.